Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. Week one in the NFL. Let's get right to it. The good of the day.
Good of the day. I mean, there was plenty to choose from.
Right.
I mean, there was college football. A lot of great things happened there. NFL, you know, being back in our lives, full NFL schedule yesterday was great. But I will say this. I did take a break on Saturday from college football, and I put it on the U.S. Open.
I did, too.
And I know we briefly mentioned it, but, wow, that was exciting. Coco Gauff winning the U.S. Open.
It's awesome, especially when it's an American teenager and you go, okay, cool, we've got the next one that's coming up. That's
hope so.
Be a factor in these things. You hope so. You hope so.
Because she's immediately the face of tennis in America now.
Yeah, right. Right. And even before, as it was when we were talking to our tennis guest, even before, it's like I have friends who really, really, really watch tennis and they love Coco Gauff. They've loved her for the last couple of years and now she's a U.S. Open champion. So. Good for her.
Yeah. I mean, youngest winner since Serena won it all way back in the day.
Yep.
And first, I mean, it's the first major title for an American since 2020.
I know.
That's a long drought for us.
You got Tracy Austin and Chris Everett, the other two teenagers who won the U.S. Open. That's awesome. That's fantastic.
And, of course, I know everyone saw the viral video of her when she was 8 years old dancing at the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
Dancing to Call Me Maybe.
Right.
So, I mean, what it was a great moment. Great moment watching her, you know, pull it off. I mean, she played really. I mean, she broke Sabalenka, and I was really nervous for her because Sabalenka took that timeout, that medical timeout. I was like, okay, right. is this a move to just disrupt her rhythm?
Yeah, slow down the momentum. Disrupt the rhythm. Yeah, little tennis tactic.
And it did. It did for that first game, but then Coco Gauff found her groove again and just. Yeah, congrats, Coco.
Yep, and then Novak Djokovic won the men's title for his 24th major.
Yeah,
so
lackluster. No, it's a huge deal.
It's a huge deal.
No, it's a huge deal. I mean, the thing is, I love his story. I just can't stand him.
Yeah, I don't like him, but still 24 majors is
24 majors.
You know?
You know, I'm not going to say relatively easy yesterday. I mean, he was hitting all the right shots and had complete control of the game, but at the same time, he was starting to show his age. And I did like what Medvedev...
Well, that's what's happening. That's what's going to happen. Like, enjoy it while you can because he's going to be gone and Alcaraz will be taken over. There'll be another... Ben Shelton might be an emerging star.
I did appreciate Medvedev's comment, you know, when he took the mic, to congratulate Novak, and he just turned to him and goes, what are you still doing here?
Right, yeah. Still around. How old is Djokovic? 36?
Yeah, something like that.
36, 37? No, I guess just probably 36.
Yeah.
I think that's how old he is.
Old enough that, you know, these guys are looking at him like, come on, you've been here too long.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
I mean, what it reminds me of is the AFC quarterbacks in the 2000s.
Right.
It was the same three year in and year out over and over and over and over again. And it feels like that's how it is in tennis right now.
Well, the thing about tennis is, like with when you mentioned Coco Gauff dancing at the U.S. Open, right? We see that sometimes in other sports. We see, like, here's 8-year-old little leaguer Mike Trout.
Right.
He's at a Yankee game. Yay. But what makes those, like, 8-year-old Coco Gauff is that somebody already knew Coco Gauff was going to be a major tennis player. Like, somebody already, at that age, they already had her, like, she's going to be great. She's 8. She's already beating 12-year-olds.
Right.
Like that starts very young. You can take a little leaguer to a game, and he may go nowhere near being a Major League Baseball player.
Oh,
but there are 8-year-olds where they are in the pipeline, especially overseas. So the thing that happens in tennis is if you really, really know tennis, is that a 36-year-old Novak Djokovic has been in your life probably 25 years. From his junior days, if you really know the sport and you follow the sport, even on that level, like they become 12-year-old, 13-year-old prodigies that you're watching, and then they're 36-year-old winning the U.S. Open, and you're like, "Holy cow! I've been around this guy for 28 years of his life since he was a little kid. I've been following his his exploits on the junior circuit. And that's what you end up getting. So for a lot of tennis people, it feels even longer than us. You are just like, once every 4 years, we pay attention to the majors. And he's winning the majors. And for a lot of tennis people, it's like, no, I've been following this guy since he was 10. Like 26, yeah. 27 years.
And I'm not surprised.
Knowing what this kid was, hearing about this kid, hearing about this guy, et cetera, et cetera. Same thing with Coco Gauff. Like, I feel like I've been hearing about Coco Gauff for 6 or 7 years now.
Yeah, I think we have.
You know, and she's 19.
I think when she burst onto the scene, like when she was 15, 16 years old, playing at her first U.S. Open.
Right.
And playing well. And so, it's just now, it's just like, all right, she finally made it. And because she was getting that stigma, it's like, hey, she's great. She just doesn't perform in the majors.
So, all right, what is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day. There was plenty to choose from. I could have gone to,
Steelers?
I could have gone to the Steelers, could have gone to J.C. Jackson. I could have even went college and, we could have talked about a little bit about the Michigan State scenario that's going on.
Oh, yeah, Mel Tucker.
But the real bad for me was the Brewers holding the Yankees hitless for 10 and a third inning and then losing.
What is worse is it worse when you're a pitcher and you lose a no-hitter, like you throw a no, like Andy Hawkins for the Yankees threw a no-hitter and lost? Or is it worse when you're Corbin Burns and you throw eight innings. No-hit baseball, your reliever comes in, he throws an inning of no-hit baseball, but you didn't score enough runs to end the game like it should, and instead you go into extras where the Yankees' bats go, okay, now we're back.
But you go into extras where that pitcher, the first one, throws an inning of no-hit baseball.
He throws a no-hitting of baseball, and Sal Frederick is making a brilliant catch to preserve it.
Yes.
And Giancarlo Stanton hits a two-run home run, and you go back and forth until Kyle Higashioka hits an RBI double, and the Yankees win it in 13 innings.
I mean, that's got...
horrible!
That's got to be... I don't even know what to... I mean, if you're the Brewers, I mean, do you even get on a plane?
How embarrassing.
It's like, I don't even want to go home.
Your pitcher is out there dealing. Like literally, figure out something. Jump in front of a pitch and fake it. I don't care. Get on base. Figure out a way to get... Corbin Burns is throwing a no-hitter, and you can't support him with one run. Can't do it. Yeah, that's sad. That's terrible.
Yeah. I think that's worse, if you threw a no-hitter, but you still end up losing the game because you walked someone or something like that.
You figure out, all right, I've given up two runs that are not my fault, but I still gave up two runs.
Errors happened, and, a guy dropped the ball in the outfield, so it's still not a hit, but it's an error. Things like that could happen. But, you had three pitchers deliver no-hit ball for 10 straight innings.
Unreal.
And you can't, like you said, there's no excuse for that.
And this is what happens, man. This is why going to the pen, sometimes – not everybody has it. You know what I mean? Like, not everybody has what you're doing. And then you get a couple of guys, you're like, all right, they're doing good. And then the one guy goes, sorry.
But, I mean, they did have it. I mean, they went to the pen, and the guys were still delivering.
Yeah.
And I'm looking, checking the box score right now. I mean, Gerrit Cole gave up three hits, but one of those hits was a double. You mean to tell me, you couldn't get him around real quick? Just a simple slap.
And the Brewers have every right to go. How many innings did you think we were going to no-hit them?
Right.
15? 16? Like, this is our fault at the plate.
Yeah.
Failed to deliver.
10 and a third. And that catch
Adames, Tyrone Taylor.
And that catch was amazing.
That takes stones.
That takes stones.
Frelick catch, I think his name is.
Yeah, Frelick. If you know you're going up against the wall, and you know you have your teammate is tracking the ball at the exact same speed as you, it's like I'd back off a little bit. But.
Too bad for the Brewers. They lost. They're in a tight race too with the Cubs for that division.
Yeah, so this is one they couldn't let get away.
Yeah, it's down to three games. So this is the stretch run where these games are really, really going to matter. So, all right, what is the we're going to do dumb coming up.
Yeah, we can do dumb coming up. We'll go back to the NFL because there was something said that was really dumb, and I'm really starting to feel bad for this guy.
Yeah, let's go back to tennis real quick. Did you like Novak's Mamba Kobe Bryant T-shirt that he had yesterday at the end?
Yeah,
that was cool.
Yeah, kind of fitting, I guess, because it was number 24. I did see, and it almost made the dumb of the day. the ESPN decided to give award Novak Djokovic the Moderna shot of the day.
Oh, I noticed that. Yeah. The Moderna shot of the day.
Moderna shot of the day. And
good Lord.
Yeah. If you don't know, Novak's been avoiding the Moderna shot
That's
of
right.
the day for quite some time now, for 3 years at least.
I have to admit, I like the apparel companies. Roger Federer had this too, where you get a certain milestone and then they make the number. They give you the gear. Like,
right.
Break this out if you win.
Yeah.
Then like his entire team was in a white Lacoste shirt, a jacket with the number 24 on it. Yeah,
I'm curious. Do those get sent away if that doesn't happen?
Yeah. Do those go away? Do those go to third world country if that doesn't exist?
Where somebody still to this day thinks Buffalo is the greatest team ever?
Yeah. Or do they keep them in boxes for the Australian Open? Like one day we'll get to open this. We'll see. Maybe.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, continuing to look at week one of the NFL, but we got the dumb of the day and the good, the bad, and the dumb. Jared Dubin, CBS Sports, will join us coming up in 15 minutes. We will talk to him about his thoughts on some of the action in yesterday's NFL games, including we'll also talk to him about tonight's game, Monday Night Football. All right, what is the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is I'm really, really, really starting to feel bad for this guy. And that guy that I'm speaking of is Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan. I heard he had a bad day calling games yesterday.
It wasn't so much a bad day calling games. I mean, you know, he's no Tony Romo.
Right.
So let's just put that out there. But coming back from half, Andrew Catalan, alongside Tiki Barber, Matt Ryan, were in the booth. And this is what Andrew had to say coming out of the half. And they were broadcasting they were at the Vikings-Buccaneers game, okay?
Okay.
We were just chopping some burgers at halftime saying this game feels like it should be 28-3 in favor of Minnesota. Why is it still 10-10?
Turnovers.
I don't even know why he said that.
Why did he say that?
I understand where he was trying to go, that this game, you know, what he was trying to imply was that the Vikings should be up by a lot more than the Buccaneers. But he turned to Matt Ryan and goes, I feel like this game should be 28-3. And all I can think about,
I
can think about is Matt Ryan will never, this is his legacy now.
Okay, so this is the Matt Ryan, like, little dib at 28-3. I gotcha.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Do you think he did it on purpose?
Oh, definitely.
You think he did?
I think so. Yes. I mean,
28-3 is a common way, though. Of
is it?
Well, I don't know. If you're thinking of a big score and a little score, you go with the little score would be 3. It's not 5. It wouldn't be 2. It wouldn't be 7.
I don't think,
because if you're trying to, all right, pick a number that would indicate a small score without a touchdown.
Oh no, I agree. It would be 3.
6. But it would
be
3. Now, think of a score that would indicate a lot of touchdowns, but not too many.
I think you're giving Andrew Catalan a lot of credit right now.
I do, too. But my question would be, why would he say 28-3? Why would he do that on purpose to his partner?
Because it's a synonymous number
of
with Matt Ryan.
Of course we know
and,
why it is.
And it's probably floating in the subconscious, course, and I'm sitting next to 28-3 guy.
Of course we know that. Of course we know that. But my point is, why would he say... Okay. If you had a friend, a business partner that was arrested for speeding at 120 miles an hour through a 35 mile an hour zone.
Okay.
And you were working with him on a daily basis. You were going on trips with him. You were presenting things with him. Would you bring up 120 miles an hour all the time? Would you just do it constantly in every conversation? Like, would you work 120 into every conversation? Making it uncomfortable? Like, what you're saying is Andrew Catalan had no other way of doing it. He had to say it because Matt Ryan is associated with 28-3. Why would he do that?
Because I think
you can't just say just because Matt Ryan is associated with 28-3. That's almost rude.
I think he was doing it to be humorous, and the joke fell flat.
Right, right, because Matt Ryan didn't quite get it.
No, Matt Ryan just, I mean, Matt Ryan's probably heard them all and just went, turnovers.
Yeah.
You know, just like, I'm ignoring this.
Or Matt Ryan is brand new to the job and was laser focused on the answer.
Probably that.
Right.
Probably that. Probably afraid to, you know, it's like, oh, I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want, you know, I'm kind of wanting this gig because they get paid a lot of money to just sit there and call a game.
Let me just say this. Being in a game booth where you've got a bunch of things going on, 90% of jokes fall flat because you're not focused on that environment. Or how do I put it? You're not focused on that angle, right?
Yeah, because I can say this. When you watch it on TV or you watch the video of it, whether on TikTok or Twitter or wherever you get your news from, Tiki Barber doesn't even react.
Right.
Tiki Barber just looks at the camera and smiles.
Because everybody just is focused on that. There's like you're Matt Ryan and you know you're getting asked a question. You're focused on the answer. You're broadcasting.
Right? Maybe they have something they already talked about beforehand. It's like, hey, I'm going to ask you this. What's going to be your answer?
So when we come out, I'm going to ask you why you think this game is not going to be out there. He's very unlikely to recognize 28-3 in the context because he's focused on the answer, what he wants to give, given that it's his first NFL gig. So, but I don't know if Andrew Catalan wants to have a relationship with Matt Ryan where Matt Ryan is like, stop with the 28-3 jokes.
It's old.
It's old.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean,
first broadcast out of the gate and you know, we get a 28-3 reference right away.
I'm telling you though, I'm not that far off. If you're trying to set the stage for a game where 21 is just too small, 35 is too much, 28 is an answer.
24-3? Can you get away with that?
You could do 24-3. Yeah, you could do 24-3.
27-3? How about that?
Yeah, probably. Probably. So I think this is more Monday morning quarterbacking than purposely putting a number in there. Let's all be honest here. 28-3 in NFL world was a million years ago. I mean, we're going on to Super Bowl 58. That was Super Bowl 51. So it's not like it was yesterday. So it was a while ago. I don't know if Andrew Catalan did this on purpose. Now, if he did,
I'm gonna disagree just now. I think he did it on purpose, trying to make a joke. And it fell flat because
he probably now that's true. That you know what? That's better than trying to rib him or trying to dig at him.
Yeah.
I think that there was maybe he was trying to bring in some levity into the situation.
Maybe
the
it was a producer producer who caught him like, hey, when you come back, you should, you know, this game does feel one sided. Maybe even bring up a 28-3 reference.
Right, right, right. And he probably was like, this might be funny.
Yeah.
And it might open up Matt Ryan to be a little bit more humorous.
Like, and maybe that was the goal.
Self-deprecating joke, and then you know, it warms him up to the broadcast. He's probably nervous.
No, right? I guarantee you. He looks shell shocked when he's up, when he's doing the whole thing. And a lot of
athletes find this very, very stressful.
Yeah,
the broadcasting. Oh stuff God, stressful. Some of them don't, but some of them do. It's not. They're like. They've been so accustomed to action reaction and their world of playing football, not broadcasting. And you got people in your head telling you what to say, not what to do. You know, where like Matt Ryan is used to a play coming in, and he know like I used to play a game with this coach. We used to do this game in Colorado Springs. We had a Fisher DeBerry, and Fisher DeBerry had a Southern accent, which was even better. But what we would do is. We recorded Fisher DeBerry saying a play, and then we would have listeners listen to the play, and then they would have to repeat it, what the play was. But with quarterbacks, they can do that like that because they know all the plays, right? But when you're in broadcasting and they're like, talk about this, bring up this, and then after that, bring up this. It's like, hold on, this is a whole different world. So maybe he was really nervous. And maybe he just didn't. But maybe Andrew Catalan should try it week 7 of the relationship. And let's see in week 7 or 8. Maybe by that time he's they're clicking and their relationship is good, and then Matt Ryan will get the joke. Do you think at the hotel they're like, "Hey, man, I was trying to. All right, obviously you weren't paying attention, but that's okay."
Yeah,
you know, poor Matt Ryan.
That's because the only thing I got from it was like, I swear to God, that's what this guy's legacy is.
It's
horrible. Because, I mean, in all honesty, it wasn't really his fault.
It wasn't his fault.
It totally became the play calling because they went way too conservative where they were just taking it to.
And the defense should have done a little better job.
Yes.
By the way, Tom Brady got honored in New England. He went
Saw
nuts.
That.
They had a great time. Cheerleaders were all in their 12 jerseys, and everybody was losing their mind.
And
I do
appreciate Robert Kraft waiving tradition to induct him into the Hall of Fame next year.
Yeah.
And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I think there are certain players that come along that fit this unique bill of course he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Why wait?
Well, I don't think anybody is. I think the problem with it, let's find the real reason they're doing that. Because I don't think we're the
because
only
they
ones
probably
that
want
feel
him to
way.
Be recognized honestly, as a Patriot forever than a Buccaneer.
No. Like, do we think like when it comes to the Hall of Fame, like Canton or baseball? Do you think that they disagree with that? Like, do you think that they disagree with us on that?
No.
Like, do you think somebody in the Baseball Hall of Fame committee goes, Derek Jeter, no, we need 5 years. We need 60 months. They're probably like, no, he should go in. But we do it for this reason. And I'd like to kind of know what that reason is.
Yeah.
Because I'm with you.
Because there's only been one player in history that.
Now, when it comes to team Hall of Fames, there's no rule. It's whatever the owner wants. He can do whatever he wants.
It was Patriot tradition.
Yeah, Patriot tradition, but the owner can do whatever he wants. That's he runs the show.
Yeah.
But the big committees, why do they keep a guy 5 years before they get in? That's silly. You're right. That is silly. We'll continue. Jared Dubin next.